Begin again. Gilmore Park is involved in many projects of outreach, one of them laid out before us this morning, Project Lioness. Another project or another ministry that you have all been involved in for years has been a place on Gambier Island called Camp Furcombe. And as you sit in the pew on Sunday morning, it seems like a long ways away, an island in Howe Sound. But I wanted to bring to life a little bit to you the incredible work that is being done with children at Camp Furcombe. When I was first came to Richmond, I didn't know anyone. I came to this church with three little girls, and with a friend who had three little girls, and we found a home here. We found a community that cared about us and a place for us to live out our faith story. The women and the men that we became close to had young children. They were dealing with sleepless nights. They were dealing with getting children here and there. We passed on clothes. We babysat for each other. We were part of a wonderful community at Gilmore Park. I also work in the Richmond School District. And one of the things, and I'm sure Sally can attribute this feelings to, is that there are so many children who are not fortunate or graced to be held in the kind of community that Gilmore Park was. And it's heartbreaking as a teacher and an administrator to see into families that don't feel that they can get their life together on Sunday morning, get everybody dressed, everybody fed, arrive here on time. It's almost too much for them. And they feel that they are somewhat diminished in themselves because they may look a little rough. Their language might be a little tough. They're unchurched. And so in some ways, they don't fit in the pew. But there are other places where they do fit. And one of those places is Camp Furcombe. The children that you support and have supported for years come through the work of, I know Jan Brady, I know Sandy Van Ostrand. Sandy, who has been a counselor in the school district, very quietly, very gently, finds the families, the children, that need a place in the summer. They're the ones that don't have grandparents to look after them while their parents work. They're the ones that are often left all day on their own, enough food to eat. They are the ones that get the chance that you give to them. Our three daughters worked at Camp Furcombe, and I felt that I received as much as we gave. One of the jobs that we had was to go around to the communities and pick up the children, and often they'd be waiting out in front of their home with a black garbage bag. That was it. And we quickly learned that we had to put that garbage bag into another garbage bag because it would never stand the dragging on the road to get to the car, from the car to the boat, to the boat, to the campgrounds. And what we did was just quietly put in a toothbrush, toothpaste, pair of pajamas, a hoodie, a towel, and off they go to camp. And it was always fun to hear my daughter say, someone would say, whoa, I cut this nice hoodie in my bag, and it just fits. I don't know where it came from. Those are some of the simple things that were done, but meant so much. These children came from broken homes, broken lives, and they found a place where they belonged. I always remember some of the stories, mostly told by my daughters to me. Rich was there at the same time working when our own family were there. But these were some of the things that came back to me from them. I played with a friend today. I have a friend here. Why does everyone like me here? Could I stay here? Could I live here? Are we going to eat again today? Things that we take for granted, things that our children took for granted, was amazing to them. When they went to bed at night, somebody actually went in and said, "Good night. Are you okay?" Listen to their stories. I loved what one of the stories was. When we sit around the campfire, I really like it when you ask us what we did today that was kind. And then you ask us, did anybody do anything kind for you? And we tell everybody, because you know, there are some really kind people. Another thing was the effect it had on the young people who went and worked there under pretty minimal conditions. If you have ever been to Camp Furcum, where you sleep when you are staff was minimal. The mice really ran the shop and you got to have a bed in it. There were no 9-to-5. You got up when the children got up, you went to bed when the children went to bed. If the children were sick, you were up all night. Even if you were 16, 17, and 18, you still did it. You got them collected. You heard their very, very sad stories. Because sometimes, these were some of the first places where they could tell their stories and feel they'd be accepted. That they didn't have to be ashamed of their stories. That is just a little sample of your outreach work to Camp Furcum that is still going on. And I asked Rich to join me because I have a sense from my generation to the next generation, we have to keep this light shining. And Rich, will you join us and tell me some of your stories?
I'm going to remove the stool. I'm not going to need this. Certainly not. I'm actually going to bring out my phone, too, because I've got written notes, but then, of course, it's 2016, so I have stuff on my phone. Thank you, Margie. I already was getting emotional listening to her talk, so forgive me here today. I think I was 19 the first time I went to Camp Furcum, and it's because of the Savigny family. I went to school with Margie's eldest daughter, Megan, from grade 8 through 12, and our band trip to Edmonton, and there's connections here because folks here actually organized that band trip. Anyway, I went to visit Megan because she was going to university in Toronto and I missed my friend. So I went to Camp Furcum for the first time, just for a weekend, just to visit my friend Megan. And I stayed for 2 weeks. I couldn't leave. I was changed. I grew up here over by London High School. Really great, wonderful, happy, middle-class family. And I've never experienced poverty. Or the challenges that those children faced. And it changed my course in life. I became interested in social justice. I became part of the broader United Church community. Furcum was my introduction to United Church, and what a beautiful, progressive, inclusive organization that I still value so much. To the point that for the last 7 years, I've been on the board at the Camp Furcum Society. And it's there that I have to express from the board, first of all, in Furcum, our appreciation for you folks and Gilmore Park and other congregations like you who have and continue to support Camp Furcum and the work that is done there. Congregations like you are the container that holds Camp Furcum. And for those who don't know what Furcum is, it actually stands for First Community. So it's the First Community United Church. That was the folks in the downtown east side some 90 years ago who set off in rowboats to create this camp. So Furcum stands for First Community. And it's community that I kind of want to reflect on today, 2016, 20 years after I was running around with Megan and others helping these kids out back then, because Furcum's still going today. It's different. The challenges, some are the same, some are different, And there's modern 2016 challenges, which FERCM and the United Church are supporting our community, both campers and the broader community. And it's that broader community that I want to talk about a little bit today. I had the privilege last summer of spending 2 weeks at Camp FERCM, just as a volunteer, not in my role as a board member, but getting my hands dirty, sleeping in a bunk bed, and just re-experiencing what that place does and the ministry and the community that it does, both for members of the United Church, but also folks who, again, are being introduced to the church and its values for the first time. The first week I went was actually for one of our partner groups, and Camp FERCM works with a lot of other mission-based groups, and this group is called Camp Out. And it's actually a camp for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender youth. Incredibly wonderful organization that brings in youth from all over the province for only $25. And Camp FERCM has been partnering with them for 5 years now, helping them create community for those youth. And it was so amazing, because even in a place like Camp Out, where the word queer is front and center and proud, and everybody there is queer, there were still the odd ducks, those little folks that weren't so great at making social connections, who took time to get to know people and to open up. And I really enjoyed getting to know those youth. And we would go down to Waterfront and swim every day. The odd ducks, we all kind of collected at the Waterfront and just ran and jumped off the dock and swam all day. But it was the things that happened before the swimming that mattered, that show the power of FERCM. The people that run the camp, we had a staff meeting, and this wonderful person named CJ, who uses no pronouns, they call themselves they, their name is CJ. And CJ said, you know, we want to create a safe space at Waterfront. Okay, well, the lifeguard's there, it'll be safe. No, we want to make sure that everybody feels safe and protected and welcome. And so we invite you, CJ said, we invite you to treat your bodies the same. So everybody is the same at Waterfront. And I kind of was like, okay, what does that mean? And then one of the other staff, the volunteers, she put up her hand and she said, are you asking us all to go topless at Waterfront? Like, what's going on here? And CJ said, no, not quite what I meant. And they were being very polite, almost too polite. And I said, CJ, are you asking me, a man, to wear a shirt to Waterfront? And CJ said, yes, I'm inviting you to wear a shirt to Waterfront. I said, well, that's very polite, but again, let's all do it then. And so this rule was put in, and the staff would model it, that we were going to all wear t-shirts when swimming. Because why would men get to go just with shorts, and women have a different expectation? Well, what about the folks that weren't identifying with that particular swim costume? It's just a costume. And so we all wore shirts to Waterfront. And so me and the odd ducks, we had a great week of just swimming and jumping off the dock, and I'm hauling kids off and on the dock. At the closing circle at Camp FERCM, or at Camp Out that year, every single youth and staff person got to share a moment of impact. And one youth, who I had so much fun with at Waterfront, one of the odd ducks for sure, said it was the first time they had gone swimming in 6 years. And I thought, wow, I love to swim. I go swimming every day. I live in Vancouver's West End. I get to run down to Sunset Beach and jump in the water. But through all their schooling in junior high school and high school, this youth had never gone on a swim field trip, had never gone to the water slides, had never gone to the community pool, because they were transitioning, going from female to male, taking hormones to do that with the support of their friends and family, and they never felt they could take off their shirt and wear a swim costume. And so for this youth to go to Camp FERCM and meet a community that said, we love you no matter what, and then to be able to swim for the first time just opened so much of my heart. And in the second story, I went to a moms and kids camp. And for those who don't know, moms and kids camp at FERCM is one of the most joyful, fun, entertaining, exciting, sometimes a little too much. Lots of different moms, a lot of different styles of parenting. But at FERCM, it works. And we had this one mom, and again, part of the broader community and the work of the United Church. She was Muslim, and she came to camp with her two young daughters, 5 and 7. And it was this past summer when the federal election was going on, and there was all this rancor about Islam and what women should or should not be wearing. It became a political part of debate in the election. And here's this beautiful woman who, she was so excited to give her little young daughters the chance to swim. Again, we come back to swimming, how simple. That she had a special hijab that she would put on so she could go swimming with her daughters. And at the end of the week, her name was Tayaba. We took all the mums for tea late at night, about 10 o'clock at night, down to the dock. And the staff just took all the kids were sleeping and staff were looking after the kids. And we took all the mums down to the dock under the stars to reflect on our week. And it was Tayaba's turn. And she told us her story. She was a refugee from Afghanistan. Her husband left her a year after coming to Canada, alone with her two daughters. She couldn't afford to come to Camp FERCM, but it was the support of the broader community that allowed us to make sure she could come. And she said to us that it was the first time since coming to Canada that she'd had family dinner. That the people and that place and the support was the only time in the year she's been here that she had family dinner with her daughters and felt loved. And that was because of the people. And so it struck me as I was here this morning, and I went and I read this quilt over here, fitting that that's this quilt hanging and there's all these quilts here. And I took a photo of it because I just thought it really struck me with what I was trying to say today. We are the church, the quilt says. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people. And it was those people this summer at that camp, through the support of that container that Gilmore Park and others create for FERCM, that we were able to do this amazing outreach and support these people to make huge strides and build connection and build family. And also on that quilt, there's words. And some of those words come to me in terms of the work that FERCM does and the work that the church does there. Supportive, trust, oneness, unconditional love, belonging, and joy. And if one thing FERCM is, it's joy. So again, I thank you for your support of Camp FERCM. And I thank you for having me here today. What a wonderful invitation to be able to share these stories and celebrate the work that your support does for many people in the church, but also the broader community. So thank you very much.